Growth in usefulness. I was going to say youthfulness there, but that's something I would like. Growth in youthfulness, but it's not likely to happen anytime soon. Those days are gone. But growth in usefulness is a noble aim in any Christian life. And brethren and sisters, this growth in usefulness is only found as we fellowship closely with the Lord. You will know the story of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10 there, when the Lord makes it very clear. He says, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Very often we preach concerning our own sanctification, but in a very real way, the Lord is to be sanctified in his own people. Now you know that Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire unto the Lord, and it wasn't acceptable. And the Lord made it very, very clear. He said, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Just going to read a couple of scriptures here over in the book of Numbers, and the chapter 16. This is the context of Korah's rebellion and conspiracy. And it says here in Numbers chapter 16 and the verse 5. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. The message is clear. God's people are to be near unto him. Those who are his blood-washed people have the opportunity to be near to him. In fact, as you look through your Bible, you will discover that holiness of life and fellowship with God are intrinsically linked. There's no real separating of the two. If a man or woman lives a holy life, they will be walking with God. And if you want to walk with God, then you will have to live a life that is holy. The psalmist said there in the Psalm 65 and the verse 4, it says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And again over there are words that would indicate this, or point to this closeness in Hebrews chapter 10. I'll just read quickly verses 19 and 22, it says in verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Then in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In those verses, the word enter is a word that is used of the approach of the priest alone. He had a very important office. He was to come right into the presence of the Lord. And as we look this morning here at the blood of his cross, and we think of this nearness to God, I want to draw your attention to the fact that you and I, who are born again, are New Testament priests. We have been given this priesthood by the Lord. It says over there in Revelation chapter 5, it says in verses 9 and 10, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Brethren, one of the most glorious blessings that is made possible by the power of the blood of his cross that we read about in Colossians chapter 1 is that because of the blood of his cross and the shedding of that blood, the Christian can draw near into the presence of the Lord. And we really want to ask the question this morning, what does it mean to me to be a priest unto God? Remembering, of course, that we are priests because of the blood of his cross. I did indicate to you that we didn't want to pass over this particular statement, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It's so vital and important that we know what the blood means to us. So I want to draw your attention just for a while to what it means to you and I to be a New Testament priest. Number one, for the Christian, it means there is the opportunity of continual fellowship. The opportunity of continual fellowship. In the Old Testament, the priests in Israel were to abide in the dwelling place of God continually. They ate there the showbread and they partook of the sacrifices as well. And on earth at that time and among Israel, there was no greater privilege than to be appointed or called to dwell continually there in the presence of the Lord. Now we read over there just a few minutes ago in the Psalm 65 and the verse 4, and this is what it says. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Someone said concerning this verse that we have here a whole body of divinity. But if you look at verse 4 in the Psalm 65, you have election alluded to, an effectual calling, adoption, final perseverance, satisfaction. And very importantly for us today, there is access. The psalmist, when he penned these words, was referring to spiritual joy and to grace that every child of God needs every day and to love that we need to be conscious of all the time. It says there, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. There's an allusion there to the sacrifice which the priests had were there to look after in the place of worship. The whole verse shows us that there is tremendous blessing and satisfaction and grace and joy in love with those who continually dwell in the presence of the Lord. Now, to have the idea this morning that we come along to church so that we can come into the presence of the Lord. Yes, the Lord has ordained it that his people would come together. And many times in the New Testament when God answered prayer in a remarkable way, it was when they were met together with one accord. And we don't want in any way to play down the importance of being at the meetings and being among God's people. But we would be wrong to think that it is only when we come to meetings that we can know what it is to be in the presence of the Lord. The psalmist here in the Psalm 65, he's speaking as one who walks in the presence of the Lord. You may be aware that the word blessed there at the beginning of the verse 4 in Psalm 65, it really means the happiness is of. We live in a sad world. A world of increasing wickedness. And even in our own nation, a world that is absolutely determined to turn its back upon the Lord. There's much to discourage the Christian. And yet the psalmist here would show us that if you're walking continually in the presence of the Lord, there can be spiritual joy. There mightn't be too much happening out there that causes you joy. But there can be spiritual joy in walking with him. Grace in every situation. Love that is important to all of us. But that special love that is between God and his own redeemed. And as we come this morning, we come through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Because this nearness to God that I'm speaking about, brethren, it is the foundation of happiness. Many a person has proved through months or even years of wandering away from God and from the Word and from the fellowship. They have proved that true happiness is not to be found anywhere else. Or in anything else. They have well tried the broken cisterns and found them to be just that. And they have discovered, it's always encouraging when someone comes to give their testimony and tells them that there was that time when they got back into fellowship with God again and began walking closely with him because it was there that true happiness was to be found. And this, what I'm speaking about this morning, is the opportunity that is granted to every single Christian gathered here. Continual fellowship. Why? Because God has made us priests unto him. For the blood of Jesus Christ that has redeemed our souls, we have been brought nigh unto God in salvation. And it would be His will that every one of us would enjoy continual fellowship with Him. Not a mechanical action, just come along because we came last week. Or even as we're out and about, just trying to go through the usual. But it's heart fellowship that brings joy and love to our hearts and encourages us as we seek to walk with Him. This was something that meant an awful lot to the psalmist there. But I'm going to read you what it says over there in Ezekiel chapter 36. There is an alternative. And folks, it is an alternative with very great potential. An alternative to this continual fellowship with the Lord. Of course, we want to emphasize the point that once we're saved, we're always saved. And that union can never be broken. But things can change if we drift away from the Lord. We all need to be careful about that. It says there in the book of Ezekiel and verse 20. This is concerning his own people. It says, "And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord that are gone forth out of his land." Now, if you look very carefully at that verse there, you will see that here's a verse that is showing us that there is an alternative to walking closely with the Lord. Here are people, and it says there, "they profaned my holy name." The word profaned is a word that is derived from a root meaning outside the temple. I've just been mentioning to you the blessing of being in God's presence. It doesn't have to be in the house here, but it can be all the time. But here is people involved in that which is secular, and when I say secular, I mean which is worldly, and which is actually off-putting to those around us. And if it says, "profane my holy name," it's referring to that which is outside the temple. And then it said they unto them, "these are the people of the Lord." It makes me ask, what do people say about me? I hope they don't say, "well, look at him. And he's one. He's found among the people of the Lord." You all need to remember the importance of this continual close fellowship with the Lord. And over there, if you would turn back, please, in your Bible to Psalm number 31. Psalm 31. Again, this is referring to this continual fellowship. Says there in verse 19, "O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Then verse 20, "thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." This whole psalm, if you take time yourself to read it, is a psalm that illustrates the battle that goes on in every Christian life. There is the battle, and you will see this in the verses, between panic and peace. I wonder, do you ever panic? I do. There's a battle between panic and peace. There's a battle between gloom and gladness. There's a battle between despair and hope. And it says here, "thou shalt hide them." Doesn't it say in the word that we're in the hollow of God's hand? That we're under the shadow of his wing? And what are we at best? Just broken vessels. Look at verse 12. It says, "I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." Christian, did you ever become so discouraged that you felt like a broken vessel? And you felt that gladness and hope and peace were just memories that you have. There's no real working out of them in your everyday life at this time in your experience. But the psalmist here, he knew what it was to feel like a broken vessel. But as he comes here to verse 20, he shows us that in this battle, the Christian can be victorious. It says, "thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man." Wherever you go this week in your place of employment, are out to meet with people for whatever reason, you can know what it is to have continual fellowship with the Lord. If you had time this morning, we could look at many, many Psalms. Even without the book of Psalms, we could look at a whole host of places that show us the importance of this continual guidance, this continual fellowship. And not only the importance of it, the privilege of it. You may be familiar with the Psalm 73, where it says there at the very start, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And then the writer, he goes on to speak here how he had been envious of the world. He had been envious of their riches and how they seemed to get it so easy and everything seemed to go their way. But this is what he says at the end. Of course, verse 17 was very important. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understand I their end. He was able to get back into the presence of the Lord again. You see, whenever you're not walking continually in fellowship with the Lord, you tend to see things in a very negative way. And you look out there and you see the most wicked people, they seem to do so well. And you see everything that they put their hand to, it seems to turn to gold. And that doesn't happen for Christians usually. And if we're not very careful, we can become so focused upon that, that it affects our whole view concerning God's goodness to his people. But he says in verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Now, do you see here what it says? But it's good for me to draw nigh to God, draw near to God. This is not an isolated act. The meaning here is it is something that is done habitually. It is something that is ongoing. And if there is to be that victory in our life where we're not so bogged down, as it were, as the psalmist Asaph seemed to get here at a time when he looked at the envious and he saw how strong they were and how little trouble they had, and he was really troubled. But at the end of the psalm, he says, good for me to draw near to God continually. Now, verse 17, we've already mentioned it, being in the sanctuary of God, being in the place where the Lord was. And wherever your place is, Christian, that can be the very place. Thomas Watson, Bible commentator from long ago, he said, to draw near to God is our wisdom. To draw near to God is our honour, it is our safety, it is our peace, it is our riches. Did the Colossian church not need to know that? As Gnosticism was knocking at the door, and there was that which was seeking to infiltrate the church that would have pushed down the deity of Christ and his all-sufficiency and would have cast doubts into the hearts of men and women that they would not know what it was to walk in continual fellowship with the Lord. And this continually being in his presence, it influences our whole life and character. And whether we sometimes realize it or not, people notice when there is that reverence and that difference about the child of God. And for you and I this morning, the blood of his cross has opened up a way for fellowship that can become a deep reality, folks. Not something just to listen to preached about, but a deep spiritual reality for you today. Because you're a priest unto God. Because of the blood of his cross, you can enjoy continual fellowship. And as I said, it doesn't matter whether it's down the field working in the farm or in the shop or the factory. Or in the house, you can have that continual fellowship with the Lord. And in today's world, that means everything. It means everything. I was speaking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about an issue, and I said, well, isn't it good to have the Lord? And the person, she said to me, she says, it's great to have somebody there that's there all the time. And that's how it is for the Christian today. The Lord is there all the time. But I want to move on here. Not only as priests can we have continual fellowship with him, just as the Old Testament priest dwelt there in the sanctuary all the time, but we can offer spiritual sacrifices. We can offer spiritual sacrifices. We read that verse earlier on, wasn't it, in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says there in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of the Old Testament priest, the priest, his work consisted in bringing the blood of sprinkling in. There also was the preparation of the incense to fill the house with fragrance. There also was the ordering of everything that pertained to the arrangement of God's house. And that was a very, very important work that he had to do. Now, the blood of his cross, that is the blood of Jesus, it brings you and I near, and it brings us near that we may live as servants unto him, offering up spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. Sometimes we may think, well, I'm not godly enough to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Maybe that would do for the elders or the minister or someone else. I'm just not really good enough. Well, that would be a wrong thought. I want to say, first of all, that we had already mentioned the incense there that the priest had to bring in to fill the house. The prayers of God's people are delightful incense in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord desires this morning that incense would, that he would be surrounded by that incense in his habitation. You see, praying is not just coming to God and asking for things. It includes that. But praying is a ministry to the Lord. It's the offering up of spiritual sacrifice. We mentioned there the incense. It says over there in the book of Revelation in chapter 8. And it's verses 3 and 4. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And folks, do remember this today, that every time you get before the Lord with your stumbling words, you're offering up a spiritual sacrifice unto God. Don't we all know the saying, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knee. There's no better thing you can do than get before the Lord and seek his face. Of course it is for the things that we need and the things that we need to see God doing, but it is also a ministry to him. The priests that came into the temple, they were mediators. They were there and they came in order that they might bring benefit to other people. They came in there with offerings for their sins and for the sins of the people. Now you and I today, our mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in a very real sense, you and I are those who in effect are standing between the living, that is God, and the dead. Those that are not saved. And your prayers for the unconverted today are all heard by the Lord. And I haven't time this morning to go into all of these spiritual sacrifices that God's people offer to him, but there is our prayer life. There is thanksgiving. Next week we're celebrating the harvest time, and our harvest thanksgiving services are taking place here, God willing. But all of the year, there ought to be that note of thanks in our hearts for all that he has done, for the opportunity that he gives us to do something for him. What about adoration and praise? Praise is a very important spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord. And all of these things, our prayers, our thanksgiving, our adoration, our praise, are presented to him and brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can be a big part of that today. In fact, whatever you and I do, even in our day-to-day lives, is to be that priestly sacrifice that is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There's a verse over there, it's in, I know sometimes it doesn't suit some people to get along to some of the meetings, but wherever we are and whatever we're doing, it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse 31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do in your business and dealing with other people, if you're working at the till in the shop and dealing with customers, In your everyday life, wherever you happen to be, whatever you do, do all as unto the Lord. Again, in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." This was important for the people at Colossae, that they would understand that whatever they did it all unto the Lord. You see, the big danger was, as we mentioned, every time we've looked at this book of Colossians so far, the Gnostics wanted to tramp down the importance of Christ. The sufficiency of him and how the people were complete in him. They wanted to push that all down and bring Christ down to the level of mere sinful man. In fact, they looked upon him just as an animation. Sought to corrupt the people. Take the people away from the duty that God had given to them to offer spiritual sacrifices unto him. And just as the Gnostics sought to do it in Paul's day, there's plenty about today that would take your attention away from the Lord. The devil would come along maybe and whisper in your ear, "Well, don't get carried away. Just go on a Sunday morning and leave it at that. Don't be doing anything. Don't look upon your whole life as a spiritual offering unto the Lord." Well, that's what our lives is to be. And I think when we look at things in that way, it can be the answer to an awful lot of problems. Of people have problems of inferiority and lack of confidence and feeling, get terribly downcast because they feel there's nothing significant that they can do for the Lord. Your whole life can be a spiritual sacrifice unto him. And folks, when you're walking in continual fellowship with the Lord and you're offering these spiritual sacrifices, your whole life is given to him, then you're a happy Christian. And as Paul sought to show the Colossian believers, they were complete in Christ. They didn't need any Gnostic nonsense. Nothing needed to be added to it. Andrew Murray, the Bible commentator, he said, "The poorest earthly works is a priestly service because it is performed by a priest of God's temple." That's you and that's me. Say it again. "The poorest earthly work is a priestly service because it is performed by a priest of God's temple." Because of the blood of his cross, you can enjoy continual fellowship. You can offer spiritual sacrifices. Remember, the important point is, whatever you do, it's not insignificant in the eyes of the Lord. I have one final thought, and it will be brief. Those who are blood washed, they can be instruments of blessing. They can actually be instruments of blessing. Believers who have themselves been blessed often want to be a blessing. I'm sure you've been there today. Maybe you're there just at the moment. You feel, "Well, I'd really like to be a blessing to others, but I don't really feel that I have any power. And I feel that I'm very ordinary, and I don't really have any influence worth talking about." Well, if you're walking in God's presence, and you're offering spiritual sacrifices unto him, expect him to use you as an instrument. Even by the quiet conversation of your everyday life, expect God to use you as an instrument in his hand. And today, if we can get that into our heads and believe that God will use us, then wouldn't it take away a lot of feeling downcast and feeling as if we're not accomplishing anything for the Lord? Ask the Lord for fullness every day. The Lord uses spirit-filled Christians, not because they feel better today than they did yesterday, because they come today in all of their need and ask the Lord to fill them again with the Spirit, that they might be instruments in his hand. From your word and from your example, blessing will flow because you dwell with him. I don't want anyone here this morning to think that this blessing is not for them. Remember this, that nothing less than this is the blessing that God has designed for us. He has made us priests. He wants us to know what it is to walk in his presence. We're only here, if you come out on a Tuesday night for an hour and you're here for 2 hours on a Sunday, that's only 3 hours in the week. But we need to know the continual presence of the Lord all the other hours of the week. And that's the opportunity that we have to come into, to be in his presence, dwell there continually. to offer spiritual sacrifices in all that we do. Many, many times I've spoken to people and they're doing something in an ordinary job and they've said to me, you know, what I do here, I do it all as unto the Lord. And that is the right way to do it. They do it as unto the Lord. Brethren and sisters, do not follow afar off. The Lord would not want his people to live as spiritual paupers. But rather he would want us to be those who avail ourselves of all that has been provided for us. Through the blood of his cross, we've made priests and we're able to come into, be in his presence continually, able to offer spiritual sacrifices and able to be instruments of blessing in his hand. Just have one reference and then we're finished. It's over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and it says there, verse 21, if any man therefore purge himself from these, and you could look at the verses beforehand, you would see how the things that were mentioned there. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Do you see the word meet? It simply means very useful. Very useful. And if you're walking closely with the Lord in constant communion with him, you will have purged yourself from those things that are mentioned in these verses. And therefore you will be a vessel unto honour, and you will be meet, or you will be very useful in the hand of the Lord. And that's what we all want to be. I trust the Lord will bless you through thoughts to your hearts this morning.